Today on Real Life Radio.
As Christians, we, as we live, we cannot be like the Pharisees and put the message in tombs and put a headstone on it and say, we're okay. Let's live it. We are living epistles, amen? The love of God comes out of us, amen?
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled Diagnosis Hypocrisy. You know, this series on the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ, as only Luke, the physician, could do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 11, we'll consider the true meaning of hypocrisy as Jesus unmasks the hidden character of those who choose the law above everything else. You see, the scene is set for three key players: the Pharisees, who were doers of the faith and outwardly known for their good deeds; the religious lawyers, on the other hand, well, they were enforcers of the faith and knew the Bible better than anyone. The third key player is Jesus, whose diagnosis of hypocrisy takes center stage. The challenge? Choosing tradition over God's Spirit and God's Word. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that there's a real danger in slowly hardening our hearts towards God. When we turn our relationship with the Lord into a religion, we become legal defenders of religion and not defenders of the faith. Before we get into today's message, I want to let you know that if you struggle with evidence that God exists, I got to point you to a current featured resource, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. It's by Josh and Sean McDowell, and it's available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Now, with his message called Diagnosis Hypocrisy, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Colgate, toothbrush man. You ever read about his life? That guy was wild, man. Colgate was poor. He had an idea. Toothpaste. I'm going to make some toothpaste. He says, God, if this works, I'll give you 90% of everything I make. If you say that to God, God will see to it works. Colgate, how are you going to live, Colgate? That's God's problem. I'm poor. I'm eating, you know, stuff out of the trash now. I'm so poor, I can't get any more poor. But I got an idea, and I'm going to give 90% of whatever I make off this idea to God. No wonder why God made him a billionaire. He gave the billion back to God, and you know, he had to live off a couple hundred million bucks. Poor guy. Look at some of these people. It's absolutely impressive. Throughout history, it's awesome. You give more to God, this is the only thing in all of the Bible God says, you give to me, and I will give it back to you, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing out of your heart, out of your bosom will flow abundance, because God will never, ever, 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 never be indebted to you. I gave God 10 bucks. First of all, you should go get it back because it doesn't count. Okay? Don't be grumpy. Cheerful. Harry Ironside was preaching in Sioux Falls, South Dakota in the 40s, coming from Chicago to Glendale, California. Stopped and was preaching in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and they took an offering for the preaching. And he noticed that when the singing was going on, the plate was being passed, and this huge, giant Blackfoot Indian stood up, and he told the usher, lower, lower. And the guy says, what? He goes, lower the plate, lower. The guy goes like this, lower. He said, lower. And the Indian stood in the plate, and he said, okay. Ironside asked him after the service, what were you doing? He said, I don't have any money, so I gave God my life. Is that not awesome? That's exactly what God wants. That's what he wants. Hypocrisy is absolutely self-justification of our actions, and they're alienated from God. Number two, not only self-justification, but self-exaltation. Woe to you, verse 43, Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplace. This is funny. This was truly disgusting, but very comical. It's something that you'd watch on YouTube 1,000 times if it was there. What was it? Historians and early church leaders tell us that when these men came into areas of population, they were hoisted up to preeminence. They were, hello, Rabbi so-and-so. It was a big deal. Oh, look, there's Rabbi so-and-so. Look. Hey, come sit here. And they would love it. Thank you. They would even, listen, historians tell us they would even come late intentionally. It's all filled up. And then they would come in with their little toga type robes or whatever. Yes. Rabbi so-and-so, how about, oh yes, hello. And Peter going, sits in the chief seat that everybody could see the back of their head or the front of their face, depends on the location. Jesus said hypocrisy loves that. It's interesting too, how that is in our culture. Hypocrisy loves it. It's something in the human heart. You guys, I did a wedding recently, and we're so carnal. I'm carnal. I pull up in the parking lot. I'm doing this wedding. Am I in the right place? I look around. Ferraris, Beamers, Bentleys, Rolls Royces. Is a car lot? What is this place? Excuse me, sir. What's going on here? Is this the so-and-so's wedding? Yes, it's the so-and-so's wedding. And I'm the one doing it. Well, yes. Can you show me where I'm supposed to park, please? Well, who are you? It's okay. I'll find my own spot. And what do you think? I'm thinking, I'm walking there. Wow. Oh, come on, you guys. Don't look at me like this. I'm thinking, who owns the Bentley? Who's Ferrari? That's a cool Ferrari. Whose Ferrari that is? Let us pray. You say, Jack, you hypocrite. We get impressed with stuff like that. It's all going to burn. It's all going to rust. We're so funny. Whose is that? It's sick. Exaltation of self. Justification of self. Listen to this. Exaltation. You could look at it this way, where in James chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, James was such a practical guy. He's just amazing. James says, my brethren, Christians, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. Don't show favorites. For if there should come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and fine apparel, and there should come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothing and say to him, you can sit right here in a good place. And then you say to the poor man, hey, why don't you stand over there or sit down by my footstool? Do you not show partiality? Are you not a hypocrite? We ought to teach this in schools, huh? We ought to teach this to our kids. Where does the rich man sit? Anywhere he wants. No. Where does the poor man sit? Somewhere out in the back? No. Where would Jesus put both of them? I know what Jesus would do. Side by side. That's called church, by the way. Everybody comes together. And so, thirdly, under this point, the hardening of the heart means this: it can cause self-destruction. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, double-faced actors, for you are like graves which are not seen, and the men who walk over them are not aware of them. Okay, this is it. That's it. You know those yarmulke things? The little kippah? Right now, they're going, they're spinning and steam is blowing out from underneath them. Why? Because Jesus just nailed it. And this is where the room, you would have thought there would have riot. Hey, you know what you guys are like? You scribes and Pharisees, you guys all holier than thou. You're like this. You're like a graveyard that's unmarked. See, in Israel, they have for thousands of years, especially before Passover, they always paint, they whitewash the sepulchers and make them really white so you can see them at night. Why? So you don't defile yourself on your way to worship God. You don't have anything in association with the dead because God is the God of the living. Don't walk over the grave. Don't be there. You're going to go celebrate the Lord, okay? So Jesus said, and they put great pains into doing that. Jesus said, here's what you guys are like. You guys are like graves that are unmarked. You guys are diseases walking around. And when people come in contact with you, instead of you helping them, you make them worse. You guys, we don't get the magnitude of this. It would be like Jesus speaking today to someone that we admire in the religious setting. Can you imagine him saying this to an evangelical or a Catholic or a Muslim or a Hindu or a Buddhist icon? Can you imagine the shock and terror, and in some of those religions, the embassy burnings and car overturnings? You've offended us. Do you think Jesus cares? When hypocrisy has destroyed the heart, Jesus wants to get to the soul that you might be saved. Jesus wants to get to my soul that I might hear him, that I might feel him again. So Jesus says, I tell you what, you guys, in all of your religion, you've worked so hard on the outside, but the truth of the matter is, you're like a grave. And you defile people who draw near to you. You are literally doing the opposite of what you think you're doing. That would be terrifying. Self-destruction. A rottenness in religion destroys people. In Colossians 2, verse 8, the Bible says, beware lest anyone cheat you through vain philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of this world, and not according to Christ. Wow. Vain philosophy.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Listen to what Amos chapter 5, verse 21 says. You guys okay? You're so quiet. You all right? We're almost done. Amos 5, verse 21 says, listen, this is the Lord speaking. Book of Amos, chapter 5, 21. I despise your religious festivals. I cannot stand your assemblies. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will not regard them. Away with those things, away with the noise of your songs. I don't want to hear your worship. I will not listen to the music of your harps, but let justice roll on like a river and righteousness like a never-failing stream. That's awesome. Today he would say, I don't want to hear you sing your songs. I don't even want to come to your church. Unless you live for me and you're real the other 6 days of the week. Because he said, you're a hypocrite. You're religious, and that's all. The thing, you think you're doing good? You're doing the opposite. You say, oh, that'd be shocking. That's exactly the point. Point number three, and we'll be done. Verses 45 to 52. Diagnosis, hypocrisy. Could be hypocrisy if there's a lump in your head. I didn't know what else to put there. I just thought, if there's a lump in the head or on the head, if there's a lump in your head, a lump, what kind of a lump? Well, first lump could mean that you're having some pride swelling. Doctor looks inside your head and says, my goodness, looks like your pride is swelling. Looks like you got bit in the pride there. You're all shook up. Then one of the lawyers answered and said to him, by the way, it's not a nice, one of the lawyers didn't say, I'm sorry, but can I ask a question? He goes, I got something to say. Oh yeah, listen to this. You're going to get a pass? Watch this. And one of the lawyers answered and said to him, teacher, by saying these things, you reproach us also. Hey, don't cook us with the Pharisees. Cut us some slack. Ooh, not the thing to ask if you're a biblical lawyer. Why? The biblical lawyer was the defender of the traditions, and they fed it to the Pharisees. Hey, you can do what you want with those Pharisees, but we're the big guys. All that stuff you're talking about applies to them, not me. Looks like you got a swelling on the pride there going on. These guys had created over time over 6,000 rules and regulations that they added to the Bible. Yes, here's the Bible, but oh man, you got to read this other book we wrote. It'll make you wish you were never born. They had invented all these religious laws and made them requirements. And these were the men that were responsible for this one thing, giving the word of God to the people. Amazingly, They had all that they needed in the Bible, church, listen, to promote a great culture, a great society, right living, justice, mercy. They had the Word of God. Church, they had the Bible. Listen, this is going to come home real quick here in a second. Instead of obeying the Bible, they wrote 6,000 new laws. Sound familiar? Have you noticed that with the decrease of the Bible in American life, how many laws have come online instead of? We remove what God says, and we make what man says the law. It's the same today. Any culture, wherever God is removed, that culture has this innate perversion to create laws. Here's a sure warning to the church. When the Word of God is rejected, leaders become tyrants, and their first act of tyrannical business is to create more and more man-made laws and push God further and further away. Take out the Ten Commandments! Bring in 6,000 human rules. We wonder why children are turning guns on other children in school. How can we wonder that? We can't ask that question. Why is this happening? You take out the Ten Commandments, it's going to happen. People don't have the fear. You shall not murder. They became little gods instead of them humbly, faithfully pointing people to the Lord. Jesus talked about this in Revelation 2:6. He says, but this you have, and that is the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. The word Nicolaitans is lords of the people, lords over the people, religious leaders who lord themselves over the people. Jesus said, I hate that. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come to me. Listen, everyone, listen. Jesus said, come to me, you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what God says. What does man say? Here, put these 6,000 rules on you and see if you can qualify. Wow. Could mean that your pride's swelling if there's a lump in your head. You got a lump in your head, that could also mean that your arrogance is toxic. Arrogance is toxic. Verse 47, woe to you, you build the tombs of the prophets and your fathers killed them. In fact, you bear witness that you approve the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed the prophets and you build their tombs. Therefore, the wisdom of God also said, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them you will kill and persecute. That the blood of all the prophets, listen to this, which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. Verse 51, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple. Yes, I say to you, it shall be required of this generation. Church, this is absolutely amazing. Listen to this. In verses 47 to 48, Jesus is saying this, your fathers, your ancient fathers, all the way up to now, your fathers killed the prophets that I sent to them. What did they do with Isaiah? They cut him in half. What did they do with Jeremiah? They beat him up. Jesus is saying, the prophets have been coming and you've been killing them. But guess what? This is heavy. Man, listen to this. Jesus' chastisement and punishment is not unjust and it's not unfair. Why? Because it is in the vein of the spirit of those fathers who killed the prophets, their children. We're not talking DNA. We're talking spiritual DNA. Is standing in front of Jesus. Jesus said, your dads killed them. You built the temple. You built the tombs, not to honor the dead, but listen what the word means. This is what he said in the Greek. The meaning is this. Your father killed the word of God that was sent to you guys. You buried it in the tombs and you keep it buried so that nobody's going to hear it. No one is going to understand the message. That's why he says, you're responsible for all of it. From the beginning, when Abel was killed just outside the Garden of Eden, that murderous spirit to keep the word of God from people travels through the DNA, spiritual DNA of those who are deceivers. And Jesus said, you're responsible for it all. You say, Jack, how can he make them to be responsible for it all? Because remember chapter 11, a greater than Jonah is standing in front of them. A greater than Solomon is standing in front of them. Their arrogance was toxic. Their arrogance was toxic. Third, and we end here, the lump could mean that their life is lost. Woe to you lawyers, For you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who are entering in, you've hindered. Church, we don't have the time to exhaust this. I've got more notes than I have time. Please hear this. This is absolutely terrifying. Jesus is saying, you guys have concluded that you don't need me. You don't need God. You don't need the prophets. You don't need the scriptures. You have gone about to do it your own way, and you are lost. And here's the worst thing of all Jesus is saying. There's people who want to get in, and your life is keeping them from getting into the kingdom. You are bad witnesses, Jesus was saying to them, and you're forbidding people from coming in. A modern day thing would be this, and I truly end. This is end. It says the end right here. I have to end. A modern day pastor, let's put a pastor in that place where people would look to you, Bible teacher, instructor, counselor in the Word of God, pastor, discipler. Listen to this. God said in Jeremiah 3:15, I, the Lord, will give you shepherds, or the words pastors, according to my heart, and they will feed you with knowledge and understanding. That's the pastor's job. Listen to this. Everything else the pastor does is secondary to feeding God's people, Jeremiah 3:15, the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God is all sufficient. It can change your life, will change your life. If a ministry in the 21st century, now, a pastor, evangelist, spiritual, in the name of Jesus work, is not teaching, instructing people in the Word of God, it runs the danger of being in the spiritual DNA of those who kill the prophets. You say, well, that's dramatic. How can you say that? Because if I do not open this book, the prophets, the apostles, and Christ, if I do not open this and teach this, if I just have a 12-step program on how to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, I am keeping you from the Word of God, and I am in association with building tombs to keep the Word and the message of the prophets suppressed. That's serious. Well, how come you don't do more of this? And how come you don't do more? How come Bible first. I'm to study and proclaim the Bible first. Yeah, but can't you go to the fair and do that thing? No, Bible first. Two times I was called this weekend. Can you come and go do this thing at this ministry? I need you. I need some help. Or can you go and help me with that thing over there? I love those men that asked me. Can't go. Bible first. I didn't have this study done. Bible first. That's what I have to do. Listen, as Christians, we, as we live, we cannot be like the Pharisees and put the message in tombs and put a headstone on it and say, we're okay. Let's live it. We are living epistles, amen? The love of God comes out of us, amen? Father, we ask you in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would bless the going forth of these, your precious ones, to the world. Lord, today we'll get to do that. Today is going to be a great day as we stand before many hundreds, if not several thousands of people down at the beach to baptize. There'll be strangers, people looking on, friends and family looking on, and just living our lives to the glory of God. The message is being told again. Jesus is being exalted. Lord, let us not view that in any other way except a privilege, an honor, a humbling thing that we get to honor God. And Father, if there's anyone here today that does not yet know you, may you grab them now. And may they say, yes, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Diagnosis Hypocrisy. You know, this message, Diagnosis Hypocrisy, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, we don't always understand what God's doing, but the Bible tells us that one day we will. The question is, do we know God personally? Many believe there's a God and that he's powerful, but having faith in God is to know and understand that he cares about you immensely. God's power could force obedience, but instead, He gives us the freedom to choose to come to Him through our own free will. So, if you're wondering what that means to have a personal relationship with God, why don't you let us help? Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com, click on that tab that's labeled Know God, spelled out, that's K-N-O-W, God. Now, once you're there, you'll learn about things like how our sin is separating us from God and how God has made a way through His Son, Jesus Christ, to get right with Him. Again, it's that tab labeled Know God, and it's there at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.